Oh, so that was the, I guess my question was pointed at, like, what experience you had with the environment or site development or construction or any of that stuff.
The more it goes out, the more likely I can keep it.
Pretty much from construction into product manufacturing, but in between, I've
It's ready to roll. All you got to do is dig it out of the garage and strap it down.
Mechanical drafting and tool and stuff.
And I'll have it everywhere. Thank you.
Pretty much the Twitter version.
When you were when you were in the higher levels of business, you were probably some kind of executive. Did y'all ever build new facilities?
Got the back in the tubes.
In Greenville.
Don't keep it inflated.
South Carolina? That's where I grew. Family's all in the Greenville area.
My last employer, well, for the past year I worked for Norfin, who just moved here from Germany.
Now, since this, now it's got
Mills River.
So we took and put on the back and in the, right in the middle of it, there's rollers now. So we just took iron pipe.
Well, anyway, it's just a fiber.
Brackets and put PVC over it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can, like, grab the end of it and, like, shove it straight off the back. It'll roll off. But, like, hauling it out makes it a lot easier. It's got rollers over the lip in the back. But, I mean, so they'll help, like, kind of roll it up. But then once it... It's up on the deck, then you got to sort of drag it, but now it just rolls right up.
I guess
right
that's the biggest headache.
Right on 85, it's on a hill.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's a glass.
And all that, like behind Whole Foods and all that.
That's a better picture.
That is an amazing facility.
Yeah.
Sweet boat.
I actually lived down there.
Yeah, I mean, now, though, in most places you go,
he worked for SciTech.
You can, like, so if you go over to the...
And
Tuxedo, or you go when we lived down there, or go anywhere like that, you can get a shuttle.
Oh, I know. I used to go four wheeling back in there in high school. Four wheel, I just
don't take your car down and park it. The takeout.
Yeah. You know John Jones? He does the same thing. Forward, just because it has the key on the side, like the code on the side. So you can leave it.
I mean, so you're probably.
Shuttle it down for
if you've,
him. I mean, does that the whole stuff.
If you've been in those kind of positions while they're constructing those facilities, you're probably well aware of.
If you do it somewhere like French Broad, you can do an Uber.
Capital improvement project.
Yeah.
Last time
in fact,
we went,
I did a capital improvement project right
we
before
kayak
I left Hubble.
French Broad
the,
and we,
that building was only 10 years old, but because of technology.
Last time, it worked out really well. We put in at
the lighting business going to LED.
And then I drove the car down to Hominy. And then I got an Uber from Hominy back to Bent Creek. It was like $8.
Wow.
And I left the kids and Tanya and the boats and everything.
That's perfect.
Bent Creek. And then we got down there. The car was there. And we just
all the walls were glass and modular.
Yeah, we've done that with our canoe before.
It was really a cool.
And we went, the one time we went and we put in it.
Should pull up sometimes and show you.
No, we put in at Hominy.
Did you make the video?
And went down to the takeouts across
the
2000.
I did a walkthrough.
I took an Uber back.
Video tour of
but
the facility.
Then I had
we have a
back,
YouTuber
so
county commissioner.
I'm glad I don't take hits and stuff on it.
If we get one that tweets, we know we're the youngest.
If it's just
well, you
know,
when I was running
with the boat by the river.
I did a lot of
which I don't
Google
really,
ads.
I'm not really big
on it. And I had a lady come up to me.
I believe
in
Bent Creek or Hominy because there's so many people there. They'd be fine there. But
just because you are into technology, you understand.
Wow.
Glenbridge. And there isn't anything there.
I mean, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah.
Not a soul.
There's not even really a put in. We just slide it down the bank.
At some point, I'd like to make a motion that she becomes our sponsor or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is supposed to be. We're supposed to have somebody.
You vetted her, so we're all good. Yep. We're good to go.
Good.
All right.
Yeah, you've been officially vetted.
Right. So. She is competent.
Me if you have
well, is there a commissioner on this?
Not currently, yeah.
Oh, really?
We've been told there's one that is appointed, I think, every year, but we've never had the pleasure of having someone here or getting to know them, so... We appreciate your
time. I actually have the list. Maybe I can look it up on them.
Yeah, please do. But I guess.
Well, that's null and void now, anyway.
Okay.
while you're looking that up, we'll go ahead and call the March 7th meeting of the Environmental Advisory Committee to order. Has everyone had a chance to look at the agenda?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion.
Second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Well, we want to welcome Commissioner McCall.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being with us today. appreciate your time and your commitment to the community. We really appreciate what you do. Part of what we were thinking about would be good today is spend some time with introductions around the room so you know why we're here and kind of where we come from in the community, and then we can talk a little bit about some of the discussion items we've been working on.
Great.
See what your thoughts are, if you have any ideas, insight, anything like that. So, Grady, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'll try to be brief. Grady Nance, and I've retired, lived in Zirconia now for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Great place in the United States. We did search, and this is the place we settled on. 42 years of work in the energy field with
who
business.
For?
What's that?
Who were you with?
McDermott Offshore Oil.
Okay.
And also Detroit Edison, the seventh largest electric utility.
Yeah, part of it.
And that was my last job, and the last thing I did for them, I developed wind energy farms, mm-hmm. Renewable energy solar projects. So I did the green things for the utility.
Oh, cool.
If you will. I'm currently a member and board member of Mountain True, local environmental advocacy group. If you don't know them, I'll introduce you to them. And we're here to make sure that the environment goes well for the county.
How did you find out about this committee? I'm just curious.
Actually, Mountain True introduced me to the committee and a chance to, you know, look to volunteer and help.
I'm so impressed on the number of volunteers that we have in this county. I mean, it's amazing. People will donate their time for something they feel passionate about. So I appreciate that, and thank you all very much for doing that.
Hey, I'm the recycling coordinator for Henderson County and then the EAC County liaison.
And I know where to find you.
Okay.
My name is Philip Ellis. I'm an engineer who do water resources work. Chris and I actually work together. I think we met on this committee a few years ago, and I'm an avid whitewater paddler. One of the main reasons we live here is for outdoor recreation in the county. So I have a strong interest in water resources and like the quality of our streams and wetlands in the county.
My name is Andy Myers. I do advocacy work for a nonprofit that uses documentaries to advance environmental education and awareness. I'm an avid homesteader with chickens and sheep. I found out actually about this from Mountain True as well. They hosted a webinar like a year ago about joining committees and commissions, mm-hmm. and it was really awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
Ryan Cannon, I'm a banker by day, work at First Citizens in town. I would call myself a Hendersonville native. I've lived here probably two-thirds of my life, went to Hendersonville High School, went to college at Appalachian and Boone, and through all that I really just found out that you know, there may be more money elsewhere, there may be other things, but the mountains are what I love. And for me, it's a mixed bag of, you know, forest, rivers, trails. And that's really what drew me to this committee. I actually found out about this committee and opportunities to get involved in local government through Mountain True in 2013. They had a presentation at the Chamber of Commerce in Asheville, and they had folks from all different municipalities in West North Carolina talking about, you know, this is how you get involved, this is why you should be involved, and I felt the kind of the call to serve. And at that time, started talking to Marcus Jones and some others from the county, and they said, well, hey, we have this committee, and well, great. And so got appointed back in 2014, and it's been a great adventure to see how we work as a community, and there's a lot of partnership that I really appreciate between folks like ourselves, nonprofits, other agencies, and the government. So I think, to me, that's probably about the best form of government you could imagine. So enjoyed my time.
I'm Chris Gross. I'm originally from Greenville. I grew up in Greenville, but my mother and my father are from Western North Carolina, so we moved up here several years ago. My wife got a job. For several years, I was a wetlands consultant, so I did a lot of regulatory stuff. And then for a number of years, I was an environmental science instructor at Blue Ridge.
Okay.
And that's when I got onto this committee. Rachel Kapar actually
okay.
signed, forced me to do it. and then I, like Phil said, I met him on this committee, so now I actually work with them since October of last year. So.
And what company is that?
We're an environmental or water resources engineering firm. The name is Robinson Design Engineers.
Okay.
Kind of overrepresented, I guess, on this firm now.
Yeah, it was not intentional that would be the case, but that's how it worked out. So.
But that's good because you guys bring a lot of knowledge and expertise. So I think that's
absolutely
a really good thing. I'm Lucy Butler. I'm a retired medical speech language pathologist, and I retired from Pardee. I've been here since, 12 years, 2006, and went to Appalachian also. And I'm from the eastern part of the state, and so I wanted to come back to the mountains. And very involved in Mountain True, and then also am one of the coordinators for Citizens Climate Lobby, which is another environmental group, but the focus with them is solution-based action in terms of climate change, carbon fee and dividend, and that's something that I feel is coming. And so I've just always been a rabid environmentalist, and after the 2016 elections decided that, you know, I started going to lectures and talks and wanted to become involved, and then I guess it was who's the woman who's in Mountain True? I can't think.
Kate Breckenheimer.
No. Mountain True, and she's the attorney.
Oh, Julie Mayfield.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She did a workshop in Asheville on lobbying and getting involved, and that's what she said to do. She said if you want to have any impact or any effect in your community, then you need to start getting involved in these advisory boards. And then, of course, her intention was that you would move on to elected office, which I have absolutely no interest in doing. But it's probably a good thing because I can keep my mouth shut. So anyway, I just looked on the list, and I told Rachel. I'd known Rachel since she was an AmeriCorps volunteer. And so when an opening became available, then I applied for it. I applied for it, and then she let me know when there was an opening. So we're glad you're here. Thank you for taking this time, and thank you for being an elected official. I sat through as many county commission meetings as I think I could sit through. I just, you know, ADD is just contraindicated in those environments. But thank you for being here. Thank you for your service.
Well, thank you.
Because it seems to be thankless, and, you know, there are never perfect answers, and you can't make it.
I did it for the money.
We're on this for the money too.
Yeah.
But thank you for having the interest in being here. That's a good thing.
Well, it's kind of in my blood. My grandfather was county commissioner from 62 to 74, and you can figure out how old I am now. I was actually a senior in high school in 74 when his last project was developing Jackson Park. We did not.
This county, he was a commissioner.
Cool. Yes.
Wow.
For 12 years.
I love Jackson Park.
Yeah. We did not have a park before. Yeah. We had Patton Park, had just been developed, but it was more the pool.
Yeah. And that was always a city park, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's always been a city park. And then we had a couple of little, like there's the Edwards Park that's below Bruce Drysdale, you know, we had little parks like that, but nothing to the degree of Jackson Park.
It's so great, and you can walk from Main Street to the big, nice county park.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Well, and it's called Jackson Park after my grandfather, Clyde Jackson.
Whoa!
There's actually a rock as you go in the main entrance from Grove Street. There's a big rock beside the flagpole, and on the other side of the rock is a plaque with his picture on it. And our family put that there, but to commemorate that. But I, like I said, I was a senior in high school, and he invited me to be part of the committee to plan it. He said the kids are going to use the park; they should be a part of the planning. So it was myself and a couple of other kids from other schools. So we got to say, yeah, we like that. No, we don't. Maybe you need to move up that over there. And they pretty much made it the way we originally, you know, planned it. I remember one thing that didn't happen. The basketball court was supposed to have scooped edges and fill it with water in the winter so it could be an ice skating rink.
Oh.
But that didn't happen. It's probably a good thing. but that land was originally purchased to be the new landfill.
Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't live here if that was the case.
That was because the the dump, and it was a dump. It was just an open area where you went and dumped trash. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was right beyond that, where basically
dump park is.
Where the 1995 courthouse is, which direction are mm-hmm. over there? Yeah. And that was getting to capacity, and then they moved the well, actually, between those two times, they created the landfill that's out on Stony Mountain Road, but it was getting to capacity, but then they realized they could do some other things to better utilize it and decided not to use that for a landfill and turned it into Jackson Park. Wow. And it's one of the best used parks in the state.
Good choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The greenways are just wonderful.
Well done.
And they have a walk and bike. I mean, that's fabulous.
Well, and you said something interesting a few minutes ago, that you know you could make more money living somewhere else, mm-hmm. but the quality of life.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to two members of the Greenways Committee this week, and that was one of the topics of conversation, how having more greenways will attract more people to not just move here, but to stay here. We do have to have opportunities for employment. You still have to be able to support yourself, but at the same time, the people who are looking for that quality of life aren't, you know, it's just, okay, I need to eat, I need to, you know, live in a house, but I don't have to have the best of the best of the best of the best.
Yeah, as a retiree, we mm-hmm. came for the recreational mm-hmm.
well, good.
Activities.
Yeah,
my friends and I will talk about it a lot of times, and we almost feel like it's a tax we pay, because mm-hmm. my brothers live in Durham, and they make a lot more money than mm-hmm. I do, but that's okay. Money is just money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quality of life. I go mm-hmm. to visit Durham, and it's lots of concrete. I mean, mm-hmm. they have some greenways, but it pales in comparison, because I can go from my door and be in Green River in 20 minutes. I can be in DuPont in 20 minutes or mm-hmm. 30 minutes to Pisgah.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty rare,
mm-hmm.
and we've talked about it a lot here is, there's something about this valley. There's so much here.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of times it brings us back to why we're here to begin with, is to, you know, kind of protect it. How do we keep it sustainable? How do we make sure it can't be destroyed by something? And I think there's a balance there that we all try to strike.
Of course, everybody wanting to come and live here puts a strain on the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's
true. Looking at our roads and traffic
mm-hmm.
and of course, we'd like to see more greenways and more ways of getting around without having to get in a car and use fossil fuels and so.
Well, I think you're going to see some progress in that area this year, because there's grants we can apply for expanding the greenways. The next section of it would be, well, we got to repair the section from Jackson Park to 7th Avenue. That's
right.
Just a mess.
Yeah.
And all the rain hasn't helped, but... is to construct a section from Jackson Park to Blue Ridge Community College.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would like to see it go on over to the park at Flat Rock. But just a couple other things about myself. I've lived here all my life, except for 5 years in Greenville, because my husband and I both worked there. But after two years, we quickly found out that we wanted to move back home and just commute because of the quality of life. It just took us 3 years to sell our house. But I love this area so much, just because I've been here all my life, but also because my roots go back to the very first settler. The very first person that lived here was William Mills, and I'm a descendant of William Mills, and to me that's I feel a responsibility for that. I feel like I need to maintain what, he came here because he was a British soldier and he was hiding out and he didn't want to get shot. But
he was smart.
And his daughter's married Edney's. His daughter's married Edney's, Edneyville.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But so there's a lot of history, and I just love this area so much. So when I retired, I wanted to give back, and I felt like my experience in business for so many years would be helpful to the commission. So here I am.
That's
So who's going to write these grants? You said there are grants available for?
Yeah, there. Basically, there's a whole committee, Greenways committee, and
they'll
help with that. And I'm sure that the county attorney will participate in a little bit.
What's your view on the Acosta Trail?
Hmm?
What's your view on the Acosta Trail?
I want to see it happen as soon as possible. I think it would be great. Even if we can just do the portion to Laurel Park. Mm-hmm. I was at the new commissioners can go to new commissioner training school through UNC School of Government, and I was at that, and there were a couple of guys from Brevard, Transylvania County, and I basically said, okay, what about this, Acosta Trail deal? And Transylvania County is holding back. They have some strange idea that some corporation is going to build an industry and they're going to reopen that railroad, and I don't know that that's ever going to happen. But and then also the waiting for the railroad to actually sell it. But then there's some pushback from the hardest part is going to get the agreement from the property owners, and that's always the hardest part. But I'd like to see it happen sooner than later if we could just get it as far as Etowah, because that again is another park that's well used, especially by for softball tournaments and stuff like that. So
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'd like to see a place for people who want to ride their bikes but don't necessarily want to ride with all the cars like me. I ride my bike at Myrtle Beach, and I don't ride it much around here. Mm-hmm. So, a place for that, a place for families to walk, just to, promote good health and all that good stuff.
I brave the streets around the county, mm-hmm. and me and my family, I walk with young kids on the sidewalks and stuff. It is a little bit scary, and I feel that pedestrians are underserved by the mm-hmm. NCDOT and local municipalities.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's one of the points for doing the new work on Canoga Road. They're not going to widen it to a four-lane highway. They're going to make it better for the bike riders, number one, but just the regular traffic. I don't know if any of you live out Canoga Road, but a lot of the change, just for your interest, a lot of changes that were requested have been put in place. So,
the big disappointment to me is there's no turn lane on Irkwood. I think that's a huge mistake. I don't know.
I thought there was.
When I read, I didn't see that.
Because I have a copy of the plans in my office, and it showed turn lanes for both. They're on the side. They're not in the middle. They're on the side.
Okay.
It's not a middle turn lane. It's, mm-hmm. That's what I saw on the plans.
Maybe you said no middle turn lane, and I thought there was no turn lane.
Oh, okay. There's not a roundabout.
Well, yeah, I know that.
Yeah. Which, that's okay with me, because I hate roundabouts.
Why do you hate roundabouts?
I just hate roundabouts.
Mm-hmm. I've gotten used to them.
They move traffic, and that's the way most
because of the people that don't understand them, it's like there's always that one car, that one driver.
Honey, there are people who stop a red light.
Well, I know.
If they can learn to use a cell phone, they can learn how to go about around the bend. It's just.
There's a funny story that a guy that used to work for me told about a roundabout, and I'll shut up. There's a huge one in Spartanburg. It's called what? It's
those
called
are name. A different matter.
Yes, I know.
Three and four lane roundabouts are a different animal.
But you know the one I'm talking about? Heron Circle or something like that.
Yeah,
it's got a name. Yeah, you know.
Heron Circle.
On old 85 business, off of 85 business. Anyway, this guy that used to work for me, we were in Spartanburg at the time, and he said he knew this guy that went to his church now. And he got on there, and he was intoxicated.
Oh.
He's still on it, right? But he's sober
and
now.
And he got on, and he he got in the, it's a two lane, and he got in the middle lane, and he kept going around, and he couldn't figure out how to get off, and oh my gosh, he kept going around. And finally, a police officer came along, and I guess saw him, and went, okay, this guy's, something's wrong, and got the blue light and pulled him over, and the guy said, you can take me to jail, you can do whatever you want to,
just get
me thank
off.
You for getting me off.
That's hilarious. I could see myself doing something. Mm-hmm. Rebecca, we wanted to, you know, try to make good use of your time. We thought, let me start by saying this. So being that we're advisory in nature, mm-hmm. we don't have a budget. We aren't like some of the other committees that are tasked with a certain item and, mm-hmm. you know, things of that nature. So our role is really to be advisory to the Board of Commissioners and also in support of staff. So sometimes we'll work on things in tandem with the engineering department through Christina Marcus. Other times we might help with, you know, John Mitchell's department or something like that. It mm-hmm. just depends on what we're looking at. But what we do on an annual basis is the committee will sit and usually in our August, September meeting, we'll talk about what's important to us as citizens. And so we try to build consensus around that because it's basically items we're going to spend our time on. And maybe it ends up with a letter of support to the commissioners. Maybe it ends up in some sort of communication to Marcus Jones or John Mitchell or something like that. So this year, two of the items that we've talked a lot about and we're curious to get your counsel on. One of them is stormwater management. And I know my engineering colleagues here will probably slap my hand and say it's not stormwater, it's
just keep trying
surface water. But we really started talking about that over the past year as we've gotten these large rain events with more frequency. You know, what do we do with the surface water that creates either flooding on streets or just flat-out flooding in general? Curious if you have any thoughts on that, or if you give us maybe some guidance or direction on areas we might dig in and, you know, bring some information back to staff or the BOC that could help with.
Or if you have any related interests that we could spur us into some sort of action.
That's true. Because you know, you asked earlier, have we ever met with another commissioner? We haven't. And so if you say, hey, focus on this, but stay away from that, that would be direction that would be helpful to us.
Off the top of my head, you know, that area, a big area of concern that I've always had concerns about, and I'll tell you a funny story about that one too, is going down Four Seasons Boulevard and the, I just call it the swamp for lack of a better, you know.
Actually, it's a bog, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Isn't that used to be a cornfield? I've heard
it's
that
it's a big hole DOT built is what it is.
Yeah, the DOT built a road. And
yeah, when they put that road in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. When they put Four Seasons in there.
It's got a name, I think.
Huh. But, you know, what's living in there? I know there's a lot of snakes in there. The funny story was, you know, you run into a lot of people when you're running for election, and one lady said, oh, I would like to see you do something. I'd like to see you fill in that hole over there off of Four Seasons Boulevard. Well, I don't know if that's going to happen. But it's never really been a problem that I'm aware of, but it might be something worth investigating, you know, especially since it's so close now to the greenway that comes from Jackson Park, you know, and that's a lot of the spillage from that, especially during the big rains, comes over. But I think the Mud Creek has always been a problem. I think it's a little bit better now. Maybe some of the work that Publix did contributed to that. And Publix was one of my customers when I worked for Hubble Lighting, and I was still working when they made the announcement they were going to put a store there. And I actually had one of the Publix executives up teaching him about LED lighting. And I said, you guys do know that that's a flood area, right? Mm-hmm. And he looked at me like, oh, really? And I think it was too late then. You know, already signed the dotted line. But do you guys know the story of the GE and the EPA problems from GE? That Fork Creek?
No, I don't.
Back in the 50s, environmental wasn't even a word that anybody knew what it meant, you know. And GE was built in the late 50s, and they used a lot of, during that time, they used a lot of components that had PCBs in them. I worked at GE, that's how come I know all this, for 9 years.
It's public knowledge. It's on the
brownfield. But their trash pickup was handled by a local just garbage guy, you know, a guy that went house to house picking up trash, and he would pick up the GE trash.
Yep.
And to save money, I guess, I don't know, he was the father of one of my best friends. He had a lot of land up near there, and instead of taking it to the landfill and disposing of it properly, he took it to his property, which was near GE, and just dumped it back in the woods. And so over time, all these PCBs from old capacitors and stuff got into the groundwater and eventually got into people's wells. And, GE had to pay to have all of those people in that area put on within a, I want to say a 9 mile radius or a 5 mile radius or something, put on city water, and it was a big deal. It was a Superfund site for many, many years. It's now cleaned up, but it was a long, long, grueling process. But I mean, they didn't do their due diligence by following up and making sure that the guy that was picking up their trash was disposing of it properly. So you live and learn, but so we've had issues like that in around here. Marcus actually drove me to the top of the landfill pile.
It's really pretty up there.
Yeah, it is, but I'm like, I hope this thing holds up. You know, I don't want to sink. So that's interesting. What do we do with areas like that? You know, that's a real nice grassy knoll now. Yeah. What do you do with areas like that?
I think one of the areas that we've had discussion is as we grow as a community, you have more impervious surfaces, more concrete, and so you're creating more speed, right? More velocity for the water. It's going to run away. So basically, in my mind, as a not a hydraulic engineer, it's creating like flash flood scenarios. Mm-hmm. You know, like my in-laws. I live in Laurel Park. My in-laws live out Crab Creek, and you know they're from the flatlands of South Carolina. They're like, how do I get to the interstate if all these roads are closed? And you got to go over the backside of Finley Cove if Irkwood and Canoga, you can't get to 26 at Upward Road. And I wonder about that. Like that's where my concerns are, because you could have people that are stuck, or you know, there could be more damage we're doing to different ecosystems, home sites, what have you.
Yeah.
And they're building to 100-year floods, and we've had, like, what, 4 of them in the last few years have been, like, 100-year floods, and realizing that because of climate change, you know, that this is the reality, and how do we deal with that proactively?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we putting in place? Because right now, I mean, obviously we have to do a lot of retrofitting and things like this to try to accommodate for a lot of that. Like you said, you know, there's so much impervious surface here, and, and how do you deal with that? How do you go back and fix that?
Yeah.
And I've been stuck. I couldn't get to my acupuncturist. It was the end of the world, you know. So that happens. It absolutely happens. And it's dangerous. I mean, you're looking at mortality here.
Yeah,
too.
Well, I think about the EMS and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's an emergency.
And the people who drive out around the barriers and put those people at risk.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
Not everybody lives in Henderson County is PhD, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting scenario.
Yeah, and one of the ways we've thought we could tackle something like this is maybe find similar communities, size, topography to Henderson County, and kind of see, are they doing things differently than us? Is there a reason we might dig into that? Because, you know, us being volunteers, we're free help to the county, so we can dig in a little bit. But I know there has been some changes in the stormwater protocol for Henderson County.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I hear about that because I work with businesses, and so as we're building properties and things, we're hearing more of that, and I think it's positive. But you know, everybody's got.
I'm sure they're real positive.
Yeah, they're not real happy about it because it has a monetary penalty.
It's positive the subject comes up.
Yeah,
and there's
a
consideration.
Well, what are some of the things that you've worked on in the past? This committee has worked on in the past.
We spent a lot of time working on greenways.
Okay.
We've We've written letters of support for the Acosta Trail to the VOC. We've written letters of support to the feasibility study that's currently underway. Mm-hmm. We've also done letters of support for Part F grants, be mm-hmm. it for the Bell Park. It's called something different, but it's down
next to the Duke Energy Powerhouse.
Oh, yeah.
The name of it. Mm. I keep wanting to say Chief Bell, but it's something like that. So we've kind of...
I think it's the Bell Park Trail.
Yeah.
Bell Park Trail, that's what it is. We've kind of bounced all around a little bit. We spent time looking at the comprehensive plan for the county, and we're kind of on hold with that because we need the census data to come out in 2020. The other thing we're working on right now is with Marcus and Christine is the solid waste management plan, because that's why we were formed originally, was to manage that.
My husband has a complaint. Who do I send this to? He said we've recycled since since it was first set up in the early 80s, and at that time the depositories were down off of 7th Avenue, I think. But anyway, it's always been, you take your cardboard here, your metal here, your plastic here, and so on and so forth. And now he said it's all in one big bin. And the reason he's complaining about that is because used to, the bees were only in the bin with soda bottles. And now the bees are in every bin.
If I had a dollar for every time I've heard about the bees, I'd be rich. But... yeah, there's definitely bee seasons at the convenience.
He, in his mind, he doesn't understand why it got all put in one container. So, anyway.
Well, I can send you some information about that. Okay. MRFs have an automated system to
That's
sort
what
their
I told him. Yeah. I said what's coming in from collectors is going into all together, and it's sorted. So it all has to transport out. So.
But the big thing with single stream recycling is we need to limit the contamination that goes through. So the thing that sorts the paper versus containers, it can get caught up in plastic bags and clothes and tanglers, and they get diapers. And so it's my job to help, limit that contamination that's coming in.
They have to sort it anyway. That's basically what happens.
Yeah.
But I hear you. I have a lot of time to think about, August is when they come.
Yeah.
Maybe I can try and find a solution.
Could I mention this?
Yeah.
This is really, we have discussed this document at length as a committee.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of the pet project of mine and Chris's because we talked about it so much. But it's related to stormwater management.
Mm-hmm.
Currently is titled LID Policy Guidance Statement. Basically, we wanted to provide guidance to designers that are hired by the county to develop their capital improvements projects. So we have the new emergency facility out here. The county puts a lot of money into schools and Blue Ridge Community College stuff. The county does capital improvements that shape the land of our county.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to provide a guidance document for architects, engineers, landscape architects, that says, hey, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody designs based on the constraints that are put on, you meet with someone, what's your programming, what do you want here? So we wanted to provide a little additional input that says, hey, we care about the landscape and the stormwater runoff and its ramifications on our county, and we want you to consider this as part of your process in these designs. From cradle to grave, so to speak.
Have you dug into any of the information on Hendersonville High School?
So this document was really meant to be for future stuff. It hasn't gone anywhere outside of this committee. Everyone around this table is in support of the ideas in there. We didn't really know, and we still don't really know how to go further with it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not setting any sort of regulations it's if you read through it, and I would really appreciate your comments on it at a later date.
I'll share this with Commissioner Lapsley, too. He has that background. He's probably the best person to be as part of this committee.
I would urge you to read it yourself and provide me your personal input before it's
tainted with anyone else's opinion.
Okay.
I don't mean that his opinion would be positive or negative. I don't know. I just I really want your input on the ideas and what's in there.
Very good. I will definitely do that.
I have no problem with you sharing it with anyone, but it is a draft document that we weren't sure how it would fit into any. I think in my head I imagined it being, you know, the county writes, the staff writes RFPs to get an architect to come help them build a new high school, the emergencies facility. So I imagine this, it could be just like
pretty
a
much
one,
the way it goes, yeah.
Yeah, a one-page appendix to that document. There's always there's always appendixes to the RFPs. Mm-hmm. So it could just be something they read. It's like, okay, they like the LID approach. Mm-hmm. Like that means something to an architect or an engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, appreciate that. Because I think those areas are sometimes the last thought about instead of the first thought about.
And it needs to be
on
the
forefront.
It needs to
be the first.
Because
it
starts with site selection.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Because if the site doesn't work, then
that's right.
There goes the whole project.
That's true.
So what are your thoughts on the Taproot Dairy proposed project?
I have many thoughts on that as well.
Don't put a dime in it.
Because a lot of that land is not usable because of the flood zone.
Yeah. Portions of it are in the non-encroachment area of the floodplain, yes.
Have you seen the presentation from the...
I've looked at everything.
Okay.
I will summarize my thoughts into the like zoning regulation kind of category of thought in that, like everyone else on this committee and yourself, like I really, really value... the wilderness and the like open land that we have in this county, and I feel like that is the core of like why I live here. I go paddling and hiking, and it's this huge benefit to have all the apple farms and that just kind of resilience that's just naturally there when you have a strong agricultural core to the community. To that end, I'm not anti-growth in any sense. I'm like the opposite of a NIMBY. I want there to be growth. I'm a 33-year-old engineer, right? Like I'm Bill Lapsley. He's like, we're all the same ilk. Like I want my family to be able to grow up here. I want to make more money in my life, but I want it to be urban cores that are connected and not sprawling out into the wilderness and the farmlands that we have. So to that end, I want zoning that incentivizes people to build into our places that are already developed and already have the infrastructure in place to maintain those places. And then I want to disincentivize converting our landscape from rural to suburban. That's Chris, have I summarized my you've heard me rant on this a lot. Yeah, so just that. So I'm not anti neighborhoods. I mean, it'd be awesome if we could have a 1,200 unit project in Hendersonville or in, you know, with some sort of urban core that already has infrastructure.
It would be fine or better if it wasn't, you know, 10 miles away and you had to get in your car to go anywhere.
Yeah,
That's kind of the idea.
Yeah. What if it was one of those areas kind of like Biltmore Park, but maybe not to that degree, where there's restaurants, there's shops, you can pretty much... You know, survive. You don't necessarily have to leave all the time unless you're going to work or something.
Yeah, that's called mixed use development. I tend to think that that kind of stuff operates much better in large municipalities. I mean, that's pretty much how cities function.
There's one in Huntersville. They built
Kings Mountain. There's all kinds of little.
Yeah, but what ends up actually happening. Is you end up with a bunch of those everywhere, and in the end result is you have the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cary's kind of like that.
Yeah, look across the river from Biltmore Park. Is all those, you know what I'm saying? It's like the idea, I feel like that idea is what gets approved by commissioners. It's like, okay, that is great. Like a great tax base, you know, commercial and...
Well, it's still 15 miles out from me.
But it's really just like a focal point for sprawl. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily... Not to mention, we have a 150-year-old town here that has infrastructure that is incrementally grown up.
Mm-hmm.
That is a resilient community, one that like little things are tested and tried, and the neighborhoods are just slowly growing over 150 years. Not this, let's put in $30 million of infrastructure and hope that enough residents move in and stay in, right? Like, they're going to build houses.
That's my concern. That's my concern, yeah.
Like little, we're going to have little Detroits all over the county,
right.
And then who pays the water and sewer maintenance costs?
Yeah, my concern, I don't disagree with anything that's been said, is I think those kind of communities create an us versus them mentality, because
mm-hmm.
what you have is I may have family land here, and we've, generations have lived on it, but, we have a $150,000, $200,000 house, and you start building $750,000 houses around, and it's like, oh, well, you live over there. You're poor. I live over here. And I think this, one of the things that I love about this community is it doesn't matter where you live, it's a level playing field. You could
mm-hmm.
be in a $1 million house in Flat mm-hmm. Rock, and I live in a $100,000 house in the city. There's not really a huge gap, but I think as you start creating these kind of cores of these communities where people have it better, whether they do or they don't, it's irrelevant, you start to create almost, combativeness in the community to some degree.
Well, that area is really supposed to be townhouses and...
Right.
Then $200,000 to $300,000 single family homes.
Yeah.
But my concern is, I know we need more affordable housing for small families, but do we have to have them all in one place?
Yeah, true.
We have to lock them all into having two car families
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
driving 12 miles, or I guess they go to Mills River for groceries.
That's true. I'd also be concerned about what impact that has on the other infrastructure, schools.
Well,
and things like
it has a huge impact because our schools can't
right.
support it if we're going to put them all in the same school
right.
district.
Like turn on the
we would have to build a whole new set of schools.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So the income from that environment would be like $3 million a year in property tax, but the cost would be $100
million wow.
to build schools and such to support it. So I was just curious
yeah.
as what your thoughts were.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And I just want to make sure that, I know we said first 30 minutes.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying this is really good conversation.
Yeah,
I just wanted to make sure if it's okay with your schedule, if you could stay.
Oh, my schedule's open. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
I'm fine.
Okay, good.
Do you find my whole having urban cores that are connected via pedestrian and vehicular
mm-hmm.
infrastructure, and then keeping the rest of our county rural, not like keeping with a like super strict regulations, but just the idea of like
mm-hmm.
we've all grown up. Hendersonville is the city,
yeah.
and
yeah.
Green River Gamelands
yeah.
and DuPont,
yeah,
like we,
exactly.
we have
yeah.
it, and it's farms in between. Like, do you think that's a valuable idea to?
Oh, absolutely.
Keep?
I mean, something's going to happen to that property that's probably not going to be agricultural related, just because it's been for sale for 22 years and nobody's jumped on it yet.
Wow.
Yeah, until now. But it's either going to be, if it's not this, it will probably become industrial.
Yeah, true.
Which, what's that? Used to be, is it Rockwell? Is it still Rockwell? What's it called across the interstate from there?
Meritor.
Yeah. It'll probably become that if it's not the other, but
yeah.
we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You brought up DuPont Forest too. We almost lost DuPont Forest.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime we can salvage something like that, and that was all saved by a group just like yourself.
Yeah.
They just got together and said, no, we will not go along with this. And they went to the state, and the state bought the land. Thank goodness, because
it's not exactly all went down.
Well, he wanted the Twitter version.
I do think that you asked about Taproot. I'm on the board of Conserving Carolina, and there's some really interesting opportunities there for mitigation banking, like stream restoration,
mm-hmm.
things like that, where folks can get credits to offset other projects that maybe aren't following things to the best and highest use of wetlands. But I think the challenge for you all on the Board of Commissioners is you've got to look far and wide at all these options, because it's not just one option. There's a whole, you know, it's like the old Baskin-Robbins where you got to look at 31 flavors and try to figure out what you want or how you need to do it, not just for today, but long term. So I would say if you ever come across something, you or your colleagues, if there's something you're like, we need to dig into this, we don't have time, has environmental implications, shoot an email to Christine. We'd be happy to dig in for you all.
The same. If you ever see something that we're talking about on our agenda, I mean, if you look at our agendas and see a subject that you have an interest in and want to get more involved in, let me know. You know, we always welcome more information, more input, because otherwise we just have to go find it ourselves. Sure. But do you ever communicate with the planning board?
Most of our communication with the planning board goes through Autumn Radcliffe.
Okay.
She's come in and sat in on some of our discussions before.
Okay.
She'll give us guidance, but
because I just think, you know, the two of you, and they're kind of the same way. They're an advisory board. Mm-hmm. Working together on certain projects makes a lot of sense.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And that's probably, yeah, that's a great segue for the other thing we wanted just to give you an update on. We've got some interesting information and opportunity, I would call it, on energy efficiency, like looking how much energy is the county using. Mm-hmm. And then where can we trim back? Is it LED lighting?
Oh, I'm all about that.
You know, you name it. we think that's a way there could be cost savings. Anything that's budget positive is a good thing, you know. So we think there's some good opportunity there for us to dig in and work alongside staff. So if you see anything from your seat that would help along those lines, it would certainly help us to be as productive as possible.
The building that I worked in Greenville was LEED certified, and I'm sure you guys know what that's all about and what it takes to maintain a LEED certified building. I mean, we even composted the scraps from the cafeteria, you know, and then we allowed employees to have a little vegetable garden in the summertime, and they would go out during their lunch break and working their tomatoes and stuff like that. But I mean, it was, you know, it's all those little things that add up that you have to be able to check a box.
That's right.
But in the end, it was all very valuable. So
that's true. We've also talked about some potential partnerships with the school system, because you can educate the young people about these best practices.
Absolutely.
And, you know, mm-hmm. the multiplying effect with everything we're doing. I know Christine's got some cool projects that she's going to give us an update on.
Well, I am just messing up your schedule.
No,
your agenda.
You are fine. Don't worry. And I do, just to talk about energy a little bit, the Henderson County Environmental Programs website is split up into recycling and energy, and I do think that the energy website can be updated. So that could be another opportunity that y'all can help provide resources. Like, I've been talking with Katie Brett-Hammer about the energy leadership for tomorrow, but that really kind of spurred the thinking of how can I improve this website so I can empower the community to go out and know about these ways to improve their efficiency in their home, or different nonprofits in the area that could help with them. So maybe when y'all get a chance, look at the energy website. And it's pretty weak, right? Or it's not weak, but it could just be improved. I don't want to dog myself.
You're the one who's working on that, and you created it and maintained it?
No, I did not create it. But I think it could be just updated, you know, just have more resources. There's some, like, energy-saving tips on there, but I think it could be so much more. But, again, my background is a lot in solid waste and composting and recycling, so I'm still, you know, learning about energy and alternative fuels. So I just want to like y'all's input on that.
So who is the one that's maintaining that?
I am.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's under engineering, and then there's like solid waste and the environmental programs. But
very good. Well, the other item we had, if we move on to old business, I finally, after much delay, and I apologize, I got the year in review. Every year we write a letter, Rebecca, to Terry, and she sends it to the BSC just as our report card of what we focused on for the past year, so we're delinquent, but that's what we did. 17 to 18. Does anybody have any comments, revisions, questions on the draft?
Was it? Did you send it out?
Sent it on the.
Oh, was in that email?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I think so. But there's a copy here.
No, it's good.
Yep. Okay. I don't. Like what am I gonna check? Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. Well, do we have a motion to approve? Everyone's had a moment to review it. Thank you, Lucy. Second?
A second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Thank
Good
you.
Work.
We will be more timely next year, I promise.
Maybe you should start now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.
A pleasure. Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, no problem. Christine, you want to give us some updates on program announcements?
Yes, and I have some upcoming workshops. The first one is recycling in our community, and that is next Wednesday at the Henderson County Public Library. And this one is in partnership with GreenWorks, actually where I used to work. So it's cool that I can bring, you know, my predecessor, or I guess, you know, the new me over in Henderson County. And so if you want to pass that along, that'd be great. And it's been on the Henderson County Facebook page, so you can share that with your friends and family. And then the next one is the first Pub and Leftover Grub series at Bold Rock. And that's something that Rachel started, but I really like this model because we're, instead of asking the public to come to us, we're going to go to them. Mm-hmm. And so it's just where people already congregate and have fun. And I think this makes, you know, Bold Rock look great too, but just a community workshop about composting at Bold Rock. But
it's a great idea.
Isn't it?
Like,
yeah.
One of the big businesses in the county, yeah.
And I do want to move to Sanctuary, Blue Ghost Brewing.
Yeah, I attended the one at Sierra from the bottom before it was good.
And speaking of that, I texted Mike Huffman at a meeting and was like, does Hendersonville, Henderson County have an Earth Day? And he was like, I was just thinking that. So I'll talk about that later, too, but we decided to partner on sustainability workshops at Henderson, Sierra Nevada in April around Earth Day. And I'm doing composting, and then he's doing rain barrels and rain gardens at home. And then there's a behind-the-scenes tour of Sierra Nevada sustainability efforts.
They're going to give that tour to everyone that comes to this thing?
Mm-hmm, at 4:15. But there is a cap, so you should register. But, again, I don't want to talk to three people, so share it. I want it to be sold out. And you can come to just one workshop or all, but it's on Eventbrite where you can pre-register. But I do like Eventbrite because you can make your own URL. And see right there, it's like hceearthday.eventbrite.com.
Oh, nice.
So I think that makes it look really professional. It's not this really long URL, you know, easy to share. So I'm really excited about that and excited to work with, partner with the city more on, you know, events like that. And then that brings me to, if would y'all be interested in maybe help partnering to with maybe the ESB or other nonprofits, Southern Carolina and Mountain True, to maybe do Henderson County, Hendersonville Earth Day or Earth Week, you know, kind of like the pollination celebration model. I do not want to have bouncy houses at the Jackson Park. Like, I'm not thinking about that. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking about if individual organizations and, you know, the county municipalities can just for a week or a month offer certain workshops or, you know, different Earth Day events during that week or month. But I think it would be great to start with a week, but yeah. I don't know.
I would say let's go for it. Let's start small, though. Start
yeah.
A week.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's lots of events already going on because you've got Earth Day and Arbor Day in the same week, if I'm not mistaken. And there's, I know they've got events at Rhododendron Lake Park and Laurel Park, just became a tree city in the past month. There's Conserving Carolina's got events on the Okalawa Greenway. So we could just kind of piggyback on all those things and maybe have one event that's, you know, that we run. And it would feel like a lot with a little bit of input.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get a nice ROI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't bring that talk in here.
You can talk about B&P. You can talk about ROI.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome to the next meeting and everyone there.
And And I'd even offer to house the events maybe on our website or just figure out the best way. But maybe meet in August or something. But I love your input on how to shape the best Earth Day we can.
Are you talking? You're talking about for this year, like this year?
No, next year.
Oh, okay,
I think
okay,
we've
yeah.
already missed the window.
I was
going to
say that feels much more manageable.
Yes, like meet in August. I'm all about long term planning. So let's meet in August and start thinking about it. Or later, I don't know, but just an idea. Mike's on board too. And then in 2 weeks, I'll be doing a waste audit at Dana Elementary. And I'm not sure if you know this, Rebecca, but we're going to do a composting pilot at Dana Elementary.
Oh.
And they're going to compost in the cafeteria.
That's interesting. Why is Dana always the school that... The only reason I ask that is because I also attend the NC Co-op Extension meetings,
mm-hmm.
and they teach... there's a lady there that teaches just nutrition
mm-hmm.
to the students at Dana. Why Dana? I mean, I'm just curious.
Yeah, and that was one suggestion from the Henderson County nutritionist, or the Henderson County Schools nutritionist. Mm-hmm. She said since they have an agriculture engineering class
okay.
that every student go to,
okay,
they'd be a good first school.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'm all about starting pilots at somewhere that's going to be a success
yeah.
and not mm-hmm. have a lot of challenges. We were going to think Mills River Elementary because they did a compost pilot there
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 years ago. But they've had a lot of staff turnover, so it just didn't seem like the right spot. But part of my job that I want to do this spring is to give as much baseline data as possible. And I we're really fortunate. The cafeteria manager, her name is Trish, she is on board and really excited. So it's nice to have the school staff supportive, and she's already counting how many trash bags that they put out in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that is data that I really, really need, because after we start the composting, we'll say we went from 6 trash bags
mm-hmm.
to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just
or from really 60 to 10, maybe.
Yes, exactly. So really, really valuable data, and it's the largest elementary school in the county. So if we can do it there, we can do it anywhere.
Wow.
So, I'm really excited about doing that, but then I'm going to do the waste audit where we see how much food, recyclables, liquids, and trash. So get down and dirty. It's going to be great.
Were you able to see if any high schools would be interested as well? Like a
yes.
separate pilot for high schools?
Yeah, there was, I think, Apple Valley Middle. Mm-hmm. And then what? But yes, that's
cool.
The nutritionist who I've been working with, she's already been approached by other schools and like, we want to be next.
Sweet.
So they're really excited about it, yeah.
Who are you working with?
What is her name?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I can tell you later. And so I'm really excited that other schools are interested in being
awesome.
The next year's pilot. And then this February, I worked with Steve Pettis at Cooperative Extension, and we built a
mm-hmm.
backyard compost demonstration
mm-hmm.
lab. And so this was modeled off of NC State's compost lab that they have in Raleigh. Hers is much larger, Rhonda Sherman, but his, we just have 5 compost bins on display in Jackson Park by their office. And this is a, you know, it's not permanent or anything, but we have just a wire bin, a plastic, you know, compost bin, pallets, this like weird ball, looks like the Death Star from Star Wars. We need to paint it. Yes, it's this really cool tumbler. And then something that is not everybody knows is the solar cone, where you can compost. You don't do yard waste, but you can do meat, bones, and pretty much all foods. But it's you bury this basket, looks like a laundry basket, under the ground, and then you have this cone over it. So mm-hmm. It's supposed to prevent animals from getting in it, but we're not going to put any meat in there. We're in bear country, but it's great to have these 5 compost bins on display, so when we do workshops there, we can actually take them outside. You know, I do a lot of workshops, and it's not very hands-on. I'm just like, all right, here, pointing in the PowerPoint, I want to be able to take them outside and show them what a working compost looks like. Because you can compost all different ways, but if you kind of see it for yourself, you can see which one you want to do. And then our household has this waste and paint collection starts next week, March 12th. So I've been getting ready for that. And so if you have any paint or household chemicals, you can drop that off at the convenience center or the transfer station. Paint is at the transfer station, and then chemicals, pesticides, and cleaners are at the convenience center at no charge. There's $2 charge for paint, and there's a $30 gallon per customer a day for the paint. And then I translated our county recycling brochure into Spanish. Thank you, Lucy, for kind of asking about that. And I dropped some off at El Centro and also the City of Hendersonville's Environmental Programs Guide there, too. So they both have county and city resources there now. But if y'all have any other communities that I could reach out to, I would love to distribute these brochures, you know, as many places as possible. But
you need to get it put. I know we have all these different haulers for them to put it on their websites or somehow have that involved with their billing system so that it actually gets out to the public and may not look on the website.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. I can find out because I know we have a hauler newsletter that we send out. So maybe we could even just like as an attachment or I'll make a note.
Do you have any updates on the solid waste management plan that Marcus has been working on? Anything?
Still on the back burner.
Gotcha.
Yeah, unfortunately, but I'll let you know. I think he's trying to wrap up the Cane Creek master plan.
Gotcha.
And then also, I did get an email that DEQ, the state is doing a listening session March 14th at the Collider, and it's for Governor Cooper's Executive 80. And they're going to have just like a listening session with the public about clean air.
Air,
yes, air quality. Sorry. And then I submitted a grant to DEEQS, which is in DEQ, but they have a recycling section. And it's like Department of Environmental Assistance and Customer Service. But the grant is to do a large-scale composting pilot at our landfill. And so we could potentially compost our food waste on site. And we would just start with the convenience center drop-off there. But I've been learning there's a lot of regulations that we need to work through. We can't let the compost facility mess with the methane monitoring, the groundwater monitoring, and make sure there's no methane gas accumulation in any of the buildings. But the first will be apply for a pilot permit, or just a pilot, and then the state will come out and do inspections, and then we'll get approval. So that's exciting, and we do pay for Atlas Organics to come all the way from Greenville to collect the food waste from the cafeterias and from the convenience center, so I think it'll be great if we could actually do that on site, and especially since we're shipping all of our food waste, all of our municipal solid waste to Union County, South Carolina anyway, you know, this would be a great opportunity to save money, you know, if we're not shipping all that heavy food waste down to South Carolina.
And carbon footprint.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So composting is great. But
the seller is, it's a significant amount of tonnage that would reduce the cost of the county.
Mm-hmm. So I would love to collect compost.
Rachel presented numbers to us on the tonnage that would be diverted, I think.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy. It was like 30% of the weight. Yeah.
There's some really, if you go online, I mean, I know you have to take it with a grain of salt what you find online, but if you look at, there's like studies from all across the country that shows what's in a hauler, like percentage-wise, it's amazing how much is organic in there. Okay. Well, thanks for those updates, Christine. Do we have anything else for the good of the group? Our next meeting is Thursday, March 9th, or excuse me, May 9th. We're sitting in March. So we'll get back together in 2 months' time. Rebecca, thanks again for your time today with us.
Well, I did check, and you do not have an assigned commissioner.
Congratulations.
You like to adopt us.
I'd be happy to, and I promise not to talk so much the next time.
Okay.
Mainly because of the other committees that I'm included with. I think it kind of all flows together. So I'm advisory to the planning board. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Wonderful. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So I will.
Have you talked to the planning board about the Taproot Dairy?
It was presented the last meeting that we had. I haven't had a chance to
Were you in that meeting when they did that?
Mm-hmm.
And that was when the airport was there, too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I had a separate meeting with the airport.
So do you feel comfortable telling me where you come down on that issue?
I pretty much said it a while ago. I'm very concerned about putting all of that in one location and how it would infect our infrastructure. I don't want to see us become another suburb of Atlanta. I actually had my niece's husband that she no longer is married to, but anyway, I don't know if I have enough for everybody. He was part of that group that built a lot of those developments around Atlanta.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, some of them have become not depressed, but regressed, maybe is the better word.
That is my point entirely. Yeah. Like, we have little Detroits, and it's like in the 60s, it was white flight. You know, just the rich people left town and went to the suburbs, and then, you know, we had... infiltrated our culture. E.T. was like a suburban movie. That's like how you grew up, and most of us are just familiar with it. And now it's kind of like the reverse. And it's just those are vulnerable positions to put a lot of people. Particularly,
I just think it's the first step to turning this area into something that we don't want it to be.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with that.
Well, I think the other thing I would say, Rebecca, is I'm not different from Philip. One of the reasons I bought a house where I bought a house mm-hmm. was I could walk to downtown.
I mean, where'd you buy?
Up Laurel Park Highway.
Okay.
Up Crystal Springs. So okay. I'm 7/10 of a mile from Main Street. You know, I'm about the same to my daughter. My daughter goes to Bruce Drysdale.
Mm-hmm.
I work on Main Street, but I can mm-hmm. I can walk to Rhythm and Bruce.
Yeah.
I can ride a bike into town.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people our age, I'm 36, we want that because it keeps us connected mm-hmm. to our communities. I can mm-hmm. walk to a park, you know, and maybe if the Acosta comes in, I'm 2/10 of a mile mm-hmm. from that. I mean, that would be fabulous. Mm-hmm. Like hopping a bike and be in Brevard.
When?
Likewise.
We
moved, we were in the county, and we moved to the location over here. It's walkable to downtown and the Greenway mm-hmm. connection to Jackson Park and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that is very... That's
Nine Heights, so he's, you know...
Oh. I met somebody recently who said their son lived in Hyman Heights.
Wasn't my mom.
Okay. Or somebody they knew lived in
really
Hyman Heights.
A stupid question, but...
My parents live in Hyman Heights. That's why it's...
Can Surfing Carolina look at that property?
What property?
The Taproot Dairy property.
Well, yeah, we're looking at it for mitigation banking, you know, because it would create another income source for us, but it's also got conservation value. But that... There is a change in the way mitigation banking works now because it's become such a I guess you...
Bankers got a hold of it and ruined it.
Well, no, I mean, like, what it is there's discourse between the engineers who want to take on the project and the folks who would actually do the banking for them
uh-huh.
because there's a it looks like a ditch, but the engineers are saying, well, that used to be a stream.
Mm-hmm.
It became a ditch because of the, you know, the agriculture uses. And the other problem is there's discourse between is it a waterway area like a river or creek, or is it a wetland? Because there's more money for rivers versus wetlands, or I may have it backwards, something like that.
The fact remains, it's adjacent, it's literally adjacent. The property has a border on the French Broad,
yeah.
so it has high conservation value regardless of any discourse.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's where I was coming from earlier when I said... The BOC has a big challenge to look at all these layers, you know, and try to figure out what's the best thing for the county long term. I don't envy your position, but...
Well, I would make a suggestion, but it would need to be done fairly quickly, and that is to write a letter from this committee to both the planning board, because they haven't finalized their decision yet,
mm-hmm.
As well as the Board of Commissioners stating your position on, because I think your position would go a long way.
That's the kind of direction we need.
Philip!
What's the timeline for that decision in general?
The next meeting is next week, I think.
Well, it has to go through planning board, and they do have a meeting. It is next. It's the 21st. No, okay. So we got a couple of weeks.
I asked Hunter. What did he say?
So you have this committee's approval to draft this letter, finalize it, and hand it.
Well, we can vote over email.
Yeah,
we
can. Yeah, sure.
But it won't come before the commissioners probably until... April or maybe May.
I fix it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
But it'd be nice to provide our letter to the planning board.
Yes, but I would provide it to both.
Okay.
And can someone clarify, it's just a yes or no? Yes to this project or something else?
It's a conditional approval.
It can be a lot of things.
Right.
Which is a little bit unusual because usually it's a yes or no. But this one is conditional in that we can say, yes, but this, you have to do this, 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 and this.
For example, the density is too much.
Gotcha. Okay.
Or we want more green space. Or
so it's probably going to be a yes and. It won't be a no. Right.
I
most likely. If I was, mine would be a no if I was Ms. McCall.
But what's realistic?
Mm-hmm. She gets to say whatever she wants.
True.
You're asking what she's going to do?
He already
she offered that.
I have to go pick up my daughter from soccer practice.
I can appreciate that. I'm usually picking up grandchildren right now.
Talk to you later.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks, tonight. Chris. It's Captain Marvel.
Sorry, later.
Okay. Where is she playing soccer?
Well, she plays for HFC, but she's playing, this is the school team. She practices, she goes to Mountain Community. They practice they're at Von Clark, and so I got to run and get my car and get her. So, sorry to have to rush off, but
that's okay.
Nice to meet you. Good. I like the color of your jacket.
Rebecca, I'm also on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board.
Oh, good.
And we talked a lot last year about the park, Jackson Park. And I'm really happy to hear that you have a vested interest in that park.
Uh-huh.
And I will bring that up in our next meeting.
I personally installed every light pole in that park.
Shut up. Really? They just replaced a bunch of the lights this few months ago.
I told Colleen that I said, the next time an electrician tells you that ballast needs to be replaced, you call me.
Can you replace Charlie Messer for us on that board? He is not helpful at all.
Well, he does have a passion for recreation. I will tell you that. He's very passionate about recreation. He does push a lot of stuff.
Well, I want to correspond with you.
You can correspond with me anytime you want to. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, I don't know that LED is the right way to go on sports lighting. I'm not convinced that that's, you know, it's there yet.
Were you waiting on an answer to your question? I'm sorry.
No.
You got it?
Yeah. Oh. Wait,
what? How she was going to...
Oh, but I guess it's more for what our letter is going to be. If our letter... Maybe we should talk about that. Is our letter going to be an outright no or the yes and?
It's really... I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, it's just sharing our thoughts, position on the idea of Taproot Dairy as presented.
I will tell you...
Or we could say we urge you not to allow this dense of a development in our rural county.
The letters that we've received, and we've received a lot of mostly emails from people who live in the area, and not any of them said flat out, we don't think this should happen. Everyone said, we understand there's going to be growth. We know that it can't be stopped, but, you know, it needs to be...
Do it in Hendersonville.
No, it needs to be fewer homes and, you know, and some people were wanting the multi-use type of environment, mainly because they lived close by, and if there was a pizza place close, you know, that'd be great.
Wait, so people are right again saying, no houses, but I do want a strip mall?
Yeah, there you go.
Weird.
But, you know, I just really am concerned. The airport, that's a big deal.
That's insane. 325 feet?
About no, it's 225 feet. Yes.
You fly a kite and wreck a plane.
And everybody says, well, there's other developments. Yeah, but they're further, and the angle, it puts the planes higher. And when they're at that point,
I mean, if I was a politician, and I just wanted to make sure that, you know, like, there's your answer. Avil said don't do this.
I just envision somebody moving in, oh, the planes aren't going to bother me, you know, but then after they're there for 6 months, oh, my gosh, why did we move here?
Yeah,
you know, and then you can't sell your house because who else wants
it? Talk about setting up a community to be, like, defunct 20 years from now in the next bad recession. Like,
yeah.
Well, they make you sign something now in Western North Carolina. When you buy a piece of property, apparently Beverly Hanks got hosed on it where somebody
there is an
a piece
airplane.
Of property.
Yeah.
You have to say, I understand, I'm in the flight path.
Because
I used to live off of Old Spartanburg Road years ago by the health department. Now I live on the other side of town, and you get planes, different types of planes. It was small, single prop.
Yeah.
Now it's larger planes, but I can hear them sitting on my couch watching TV flying over the house at 9 o'clock at night. I can't imagine what it would be like over there at Taproot Dairy.
Well, then the townhouses are right beside I-26, and they're getting ready to widen it to 6 lanes in that area. And I'm I can hear I-26 trucks at night from my house, and I'm a quarter of a mile away. Wow. And I'm thinking.
What part of the county are you?
Tracy Grove.
Tracy Grove.
Out Tracy Grove Road. Dana Road.
Towards Dana. Going towards Dana.
Yeah, you go Dana Road, then you turn onto Tracy Grove, and it goes past the big cemetery.
Yes.
Which my grandfather built.
Yes.
My family was in the funeral business. Jackson Funeral.
Ah, yeah.
And then across the interstate, and I live right beside an apple orchard.
Okay, yeah. I go that way a lot on my way to the Green River.
Okay.
To cut over to Upward Road and down to Big
Yeah,
Big
okay,
Hungry.
You go that way. You don't cross the interstate there, but you go down that way. Or do you?
Sometimes I cross the interstate. Okay. I take that just to avoid the interstate entirely. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with your roots to this community and your investment in doing what's right for Henderson County.
Well, I have three children and six grandchildren that live here, too. So mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people on boards who have grandchildren who mm-hmm. are oblivious, but you do. You see the full picture and mm-hmm. the longevity. And having that background, I think, is just particularly helpful in looking going forward because, you know, the problem is everybody wants to live here. You know, and we're part of the problem because, you know, I'm a transplant. You know, we're all transplants, and my partner grew up in Rosman, and he said, you know, you guys are the problem. It was fine before all of it. I said, well, you know, guess what?
Coming from Rosman.
They're
on the bad list right now. I don't think so.
And it's not going to get any better. You know, people are going to want to come here, And, you know, how do you deal with that tension, you know? And we do need affordable housing.
I already said the answer. You have urban cores and you keep...
I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
I think that's one that the Planning Commission really needs to look at, especially from an environmental, you know, climate change point mm-hmm. of view. You know, mm-hmm. we're almost past the tipping point in terms of saving this planet. And those are things that can be put in now. That's what we've got to be doing. There's a sense of urgency in doing this. You know, somebody would say we're just waiting for the old people to die because, you know, when we were here, you know, we had this planet with unlimited resources and unlimited everything, and we just took and took, and we were a capitalistic society, we're consumers, and we consumed the planet as well. Well, now that's, you know, we're past that. You know, we've mm-hmm. got to look at radical means and ways of design,
mm-hmm.
and we can't use the same old paradigms. And I think ideas like this, where you're looking, you know, at communities where you're really looking at planning,
mm-hmm.
you know, with considerable discernment. And I think, you know, these guys are great resources for you.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're probably very underutilized.
To that end, I'd be happy to give you like.
But there has to be a receptivity for that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, your willingness to look at these subjects and to listen and to be part of that discussion is critical. You know, because you have resources, but if you don't feel the need for the resource, then it goes nowhere. Yeah.
Well, if you guys want to put together, like I said, a couple of letters and probably, you know, if you want to just send them to Terry, she can get them to the appropriate people. But I think it would be very very appreciated and well received. So,
thank you, Rebecca. I hope you'll continue to come back.
I appreciate your candor.
Yeah, because
that's what I didn't. That's what I haven't liked about some interactions with politicians. Their words are measured, and you can't. It's not even a conversation.
She's new. She's still new.
Yeah, you're not jaded yet.
That's right.
Yeah. So that, that's for right. now, I appreciate your candor.
Mm-hmm. And they will say we knew you went.
Okay. Well, I hope I don't turn into that politician.
Also, nice to hear the history of some of these places. I never knew that.
That's super cool.
That's very neat.
Your roots are awesome.
Are you going to come to the storytellers thing that the cultural preserving the culture that David
Weintraub
is doing at Blue Ridge?